We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into this edition of Floyd Street's Finest. He's former Louisville assistant Mark Lieberman. I'm Jack Grossman. Thanks so much for tuning in. Only been a few days since we last talked, but Louisville opened ACC play against Virginia Tech on Sunday, and we are going to react to that. A tough one for the Cards falling in Blacksburg, a game that was closer than what the final 7-point differential indicated there. Out in Virginia Tech, but Coach, Louisville, again, it felt like it took a similar path to the Texas and especially the Indiana games, to where U of L steps up in competition. They're playing a power conference opponent, this time in league in the ACC. They're able to do a lot of good things, but at the end of the day, they aren't able to get home a win. And the more of these they play at first, you know, especially at Texas, was okay. That's a surprise. You were able to play with a pretty good Texas team. You lost on a buzzer beater at the end to Max Asemus. Then the Indiana game happens. Then this game, it becomes less and less forgiving every time you play one of these types of games, is what I would argue. So, reaction to Louisville losing to Virginia Tech?
Yeah, look, they did some good things, but it comes down to, again, great defensive teams. And even to be a good defensive team, you can't foul. You know, they put them at the line, I think, 27 times. I believe that was the number. But, like, and that's what Louisville's been. Their MO has been going to the free throw line. And then defensively, you know, just the ball screen coverage, again, it's just it's indecisive. I thought they did they shot the ball well. Their offense was a lot more crisp. They moved the ball. They were sprinting in the ball screens. They were sprinting in the cuts early in the first half. Good drives, good kickouts. Guys were knocking down shots. Trey White was effective. Huntley Hatfield, again, a lot of good things. They had a 27-22. I think it's 29-22 lead.
29-22, yeah.
With about three and a half, four minutes to go.
3-12 left in the first half.
Yeah, and those are things, Jack. Good. I love that you keep track of it. Usually that's me. And keeping track of every little meticulous detail. That's why I love you, Jack. But like, those are things you got to go into that half up 8, 10, 12 points. And you've got to close that out. You've got to have a disposition that you're going to get stops. And they gave up easy baskets. They gave up straight line drives. They gave up, they fouled, you know, they take a lead by one going into the half. And, you know, I believe VTech comes out and opens the second half out with their run. Just those are things, you know, winning is difficult. And to get against a bottom tier ACC type team like Virginia Tech, which is, not their most talented group. They were in foul trouble themselves. You know, to not get to build a lead and try and, hey, that's a game that was winnable for this team. That was a game that was there for them. You know, there was a stretch in the first half. Tyler, you know, was out for a period of time. Then the second half, there was about a 3 or 4 minute stretch. I think it was like from the 7 or 8 minute mark. I'm sure you got it right in front of you. So about the 3 or 4 minute mark, and he's out of the game. And he just creates things, you know, that they were Virginia Tech was really struggling in their ball screen coverage. So there was opportunities there for him.
I love that you brought up the end of the first half, because I'll just read it word for word, what I have at my little show sheet here. I have Louisville falls to Virginia Tech. Then first thing, end of first half, start of second half, change games. Virginia Tech got to the bucket at will. Cards weren't aggressive. Wasted 17 minutes of good basketball. 16-2 run over 5 minutes and 28 seconds to go from
right
up 29-22 to down 38-31. That to me was the entire game. Louisville was dictating that game for the first 17 minutes of that contest. And once they started picking up full court again early in the second half and kind of reestablished themselves, I felt like they controlled the game for a very large portion of the contest. I really did. But you can't have that stretch to end the first half and the start of the second half where you just flat out, I don't know, forget what you're doing is the right way of putting it, but fall asleep, well, or just not following the game plan and just let Virginia Tech get to the bucket whenever they wanted to. And that, yeah, to me was absolutely killer for them. I'm an Indiana grad, so of course I'm going to quote him, but it's an old Bob Knight adage. The last 5 minutes of the first half, first 5 minutes of the second half is what wins or loses games. Louisville, not quite 5 minutes, but five and a half minutes. So last 3 minutes of the first half, first 2+ minutes of the second half, 16-2. That's the entire game right there. Louisville had the chance to really be in the driver's seat late in that contest. And what they did closing the first half and opening the second half really is what, you know, changed things. It drastically changed that game.
Yeah, you can't have and that's the thing, what this team has got to figure out. They can't have lapses, even if you're not scoring, where you're not just fouling the other team, you're giving up easy baskets. They have those lapses. They have that lead by 7. And regardless if you're scoring or if no matter what, transition defense, half court, and having a disposition, you know, erasing a mistake by somebody else, taking a charge, those type of things. You saw Virginia Tech taking charges in the first half. I think they took 3.
Yes,
and
they did.
and so, you know, those are things that you can that define, because winning isn't normal. And so when you're on the road in the ACC, even if it's against a bottom tier opponent, you know, Louisville was right there. They have to have a mindset that, you know, can't be offensive sensitive. You're not scoring, it's okay. We can get a stop. We can get out and run. Because when this team turns you over, or they get one of their guards rebounds and they're getting out and going, yeah, they're a formidable team. You've got guys that can get out on a break. Sky Clark, Mike James, Trey White, Tyler, those guys can get out and go. And unfortunately, they have that lapse. You mentioned the 16-2 run. You're up 29-22. I'm watching the game with Steve Rummage, and we're just like, this is, you have to close out this half right. And you feel, when you're on the road, you better build up that lead, because that team's going to come back and punch you in the face. And unfortunately, Louisville let it go before halftime.
Where were you and my guy Rummage watching the game at?
Oh, we went to Twin Peaks.
Oh, nice. That's a good spot.
Yeah, that's a great spot. Yes. Great food. That's the only reason I go there. All right. The food is fantastic.
That's the only reason to go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. They're a sponsor of ESPN now. And so we went over there and we're live tweeting. We had some people come by and whatnot. But it was great to be there. You just have those moments where you almost, as a Louisville, you know, for people who are Louisville fans and watching the games, it's like, all right, what mistakes are going to happen here late? You're almost, you know, learning how to win and believing that you're going to win are just huge. Teams are, you know, and I've been around teams that no matter what the deficit is, you just knew you're going to win, because you've practiced that way. You've had that, you just have a philosophy to know, hey, we can get key stops. We're not going to foul. You know, there's avoidable fouls. We're not going to do those type of things. And unfortunately, you know, and you're going to get good shots. You're going to get to the rim and set your defense. And this team just has to figure that out, Jack.
How do you establish that culture?
I mean, that's a daily thing. And it's a daily thing. It's what you accept. It's never what you teach. It's what you emphasize. And in every practice, you know, a guy, you know, misses a screen or you know, he goes from a good shot to a great shot and doesn't make the extra pass. Those are things you either, if you're not going to be a coach that stops it on the floor, you've got to stop it and film. You've got to explain it. You've got to explain, like you break down the Virginia Tech game and you say, look, and even going back to the Texas game, like everyone's going to talk about that last shot by Max and the great defense by Sky Clark.
But they couldn't grab a defensive rebound the last 4 minutes of the game.
And the way they were guarding on the ball screens, there's 173 other things that you can define. It doesn't come down to a last play. To build that up, you know, the culture and all those type of things, having an identity.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think this team is trying, it's almost, you know, it's crystallizing itself offensively. They realize they want to get into, you know, into some ISOs, some movement, some ball screens for Tyler and Sky Clark to create, and bodies come off bodies. That's why JJ Traynor can get a putback dunk. You know, there's times where Huntley Hatfield could really be a presence down low. I think that's a really big thing for him. It's almost like he wants to show people he's a pro and step out and knock down jump shots and whatnot. I'd love to see him roll harder because that opens up the perimeter. But to your question, Jack, I mean, it's a daily process to learn what winning takes. And, you know, that one time we're in a practice where there's a turnover or something and a guy just lifts his eyes up and then takes his first three steps are kind of like a jog. That's got to be addressed because that can happen in a game and you can erase a mistake in a heartbeat. So every little thing has to happen. And that's the fun part about teaching the game is that you have to just be meticulous with all those type of things. It's because like winning is not normal. And if you don't do those things, you know, that's what happens.
And paying attention to detail is such an important thing. And that's something where I think one way to look at it when it comes to crunch time and winning time, you look at Louisville in ATO situations after timeouts, that entire game. Josh Pastor in the broadcast, they mentioned this a lot, and mm-hmm. I think they were right. But you look at the only 2 points Louisville had during that 16-2 stretch came after Kenny Payne called a timeout. They drew up a play. Mike James got into the lane and hit a layup. Every other time they had an ATO up until the most important part of the game, it was get the ball to Huntley Hatfield in the post and let him score over his man. And they scored pretty much every time. And there were maybe one or twice where they didn't, but they got really good looks out of it. You fast forward, though, minute 34 left in the game. Louisville's down 3. Virginia Tech calls timeout after they hit free throws. And what does Louisville do out of the timeout? They have Sky Clark picking up the ball short corner and almost throwing it away. So you're not getting into the paint. Louisville calls timeout. Another chance out of the timeout. And what do they have? They have Tyler trying to shoot a running three as the shot clock expires. I'm assuming those aren't what were drawn up out of those exactly how consistent they were about trying to get the ball inside throughout the game in those spots. But that's where you got to have your attention to detail. You got to execute when it matters most. And Louisville on the offensive end didn't do it in that spot.
Let me tell you something about drawing up plays. I'd say about 93% of the time, the play you drew up was not the play that actually happened on the court. But what you've done is you've created great spacing. You've created an understanding. So even if that's not, even if it was, okay, we're dribbling off this ball screen, we're going to hit the lift, he's going to throw in the post. Well, they take something away, but your spacing is so good that your guys understand that because you've been in that situation in practice. So those are things that happen a lot of times. Sure, there's some plays that are drawn up that work. You know, you go back to Texas where you run the triple stagger for Sky and he knocks down the three, a tough three, but, you know, he gets that shot. But a lot of times when you draw stuff up, that's not exactly how it's going to end up. So as a coach, you're kind of helpless. And you expect your guys to understand what was effective for Louisville this game. You know, Mike James driving straight line drives with his left hand, finishing plays. Those guys were getting to the rim. You know, VTech, they had, their big kid could protect the rim somewhat. He was in foul trouble. But you don't have great speed on the perimeter. You don't have great athletes at Virginia Tech. So that was a game for them just to continue to drive and just get and create shots. You get a paint touch. Maybe there's a kick out. That's what happened on the first play of the game and knocking down a three. So as long as you can continue to do that, they were sort of going east and west of what you talked about. That was the thing that no matter what, Jack, as a coach, you know, you expect your guys to continue to do the things that are effective. And throughout the game, they understand and have a feel. That's something that's absolutely nurtured in practice. But in the game, you understand this is where our bread's buttered. I don't have to hunt. This is not a time for me to get a me shot. Let me continue to do the stuff that's effective for us. And they could have prevailed.
Yeah, that's a spot where you're down three. You get a bucket, pull back within one. Anything can happen at that point.
Exactly.
You don't. It's very much, you know, there's a minute and a half left. You're down three. A three would be great, but you don't need one by any means with that much time on the clock. Heck, if there were 34 seconds left, there's people that would argue you don't need a three.
Oh, yeah.
That point. A lot of time.
Well, you don't need a bad contested three. What you want to try and do is get something off movement. If you get an open three because you took a body off body and you drew two people to you and Tyler is able or Sky Clark's able to get in the lane and there's a guy on the perimeter, great. But not dribbling into a contested three. Those are tough.
I want to ask you about this because Louisville's defense in that game against Virginia Tech, I thought that you've hit on a little bit, left a lot to be desired. I mean, the pick and rolls, I felt like they really struggled defending there, as you mentioned. But I mean, like, you look at the stats, you see, okay, Virginia Tech shot 44%. They were 5 of 23. Oh, Louisville defended 3-point line pretty good. I really thought Louisville was lucky early in the game defensively. They did a good job of taking advantage of it on the offensive end and building that 7-point lead. But Virginia Tech missed a lot of open shots in this game. And it worked both ways. I mean, MJ Collins hit all three threes he took in this game, and he was 0 for 11 from behind the arc before it starts.
Right.
But Virginia Tech was over 35% from behind the arc as a team. Like, they're not a great team, but they're a good shooting team. Mike Young, obviously, very much known for his offensive mind and drawing guys drawing plays, getting people open with their spacing on the offensive end. I thought Virginia Tech had a lot of open shots they just didn't hit. And Louisville, especially once they stopped really staying in front of the ball late in that first half, I thought Louisville's defense left a lot to be desired in that game against the Hokies.
Yeah, there's been a lot of times where Louisville's played hope defense. And just hoping that teams miss. And that was a scenario in a lot of the games they've played. So for Virginia Tech, they roll really hard. And so their lift man, they'd have their shooter come off that lift. And the way Louisville was tagging and being indecisive in what they were going to do on those ball screens, that allowed those lift guys to be open. And they had opportunities. They missed some really open looks, both in the first and second half. So you're right. And that stuff, you know, when you go against some teams, man, it's just not, especially in the ACC, you're going to go against some teams that can really knock down shots. And you've got to be two places at once. You've got to be able to tag or plug that role. they've got to be really decisive about what they want to do. If sometimes they're soft trapping, like Huntley Hatfield will come out, and that's just that really does not dictate and dominate what the offensive team is going to do.
You're gonna you got to go all in and sell out and trap. You can't be soft on that. Yeah.
Right. And that's what they do. So there's not active hands. You've got to buy your teammates half a second. And so there were some open looks for Virginia Tech. If they're going to decide to switch, which is fine on ball screens, switch out, switch violently, switch with active hands, and that's okay. And then they have everybody plug gaps and protect. But they've just got to plant their feet, stand firm, and make a point about what they want to be defensively and figure out that identity. Because obviously they're going to have, you know, they've got DePaul, they've got Arkansas State, they've got Pepperdine, who aren't very good teams. And then it's for real, you know, and then it gets going.
Because if you do that against Kentucky, Shepherd, Dillingham, Reeves, Mitchell, all those dudes. I know they just lost to UNC Wilmington, but that team shoots the crap out of the ball.
That was a tough loss for them, but that team is as talented as they come. And then, you know, after these three games that Louisville has, that they need to win these games, need to come out and be 7-4 and feel good about themselves, learn how to win. What we talked about earlier, Jack, find a way. And win decisively, and win and put teams away. Not be in a battle with New Mexico State and Chattanooga. You know, not to be in battles with those teams and UMBC. Find a way to dominate those teams. You know, with a great effort on the defensive end, offensively have a mindset that we want to shoot more free throws than they attempt, and then feel good about, hey, we're figuring things out. We're figuring out ways to win. So we'll see what the next three games mean for them, because then Kentucky, then a big break, then Virginia, and then it's off. Then it's ACC, and you know how that goes, Jack.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's been as we hit on last time. I mean, it's been better. I mean, and it's maybe the depth is showing a little bit more too. I mean, Georgia Tech just beat Duke.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
A couple days ago here in Atlanta, and that was I went to that game. That was a fun game.
Did you go?
Yeah, so I was.
I have two of my former players. They're not playing right now. Lance Terry, he's hurt for Georgia Tech, and Ebenezer Dewana is a big kid for Georgia Tech. They both played for me at the Heritage School. They're at Georgia Tech. Not playing a lot, but hey, they're there. So
yeah, did you hear from them after after that game Saturday?
No, I hadn't talked to them. They didn't get a chance. Lance is hurt, and EB is not playing. But I talk to those guys usually once every couple weeks. So yeah, big win for Georgia Tech, and then beat Duke, beat Mississippi State. I mean,
that's two good ones. And I'll say this, like, I went to a couple games right after I moved down here to Atlanta. For those who don't know, I live down here in Atlanta now, but I went to a couple games last year. They played Josh Pastner or Josh Pastner's teams were out there, and it's not a knock on Pastner. Just, you know, the team wasn't great. There wasn't a lot of excitement, and it was, you know, they have a real Mechanics Pavilion's a really nice venue. It's a nice, small, like, big city type college town, but it's really, really nice. But it had the feeling of, dang, if this team was, you know, good, this would be really fun. You get back 6,000-8,000 people in here, and it's a raucous atmosphere. Well, that's what Damon Stoudemire's really done already in year one. That was it was a fun crowd. It was intense. I mean, there were a lot of Duke fans too, obviously, but it was fun. It was a raucous crowd. What'd you think? We'll get back to a little bit. So, what'd you think of Mark Mitchell's Tech there late in that game? Where, for those who don't know, Duke's up four. It looks like they're going to survive the game. Mark Mitchell just had a dunk to complete a 4-point possession for Duke, and then he gets teed up for celebrating the dunk. Georgia Tech hits two free throws, it gets a bucket on the other end, tie game, and everything changed after that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see it live. I saw the highlights of it. I mean, this is where you talk about young guys and look, everybody understanding what referees are calling and understanding those type of things. I've been on both ends of that. I've had players that, you know, that celebrate and that kind of stuff. You try and keep your poise. You're so excited. There's, I don't know, Jack. I almost think the Texans need to be like the NBA with just one shot instead of two.
I'd like that. Especially on something like that. That one was a weak Tech. I knew your question.
Yeah. Right. There was something there, but at the same time, that's why college, you know, like, it's amazing, Jack, because college basketball, unlike college football and college baseball, I've talked about this before, compared to the NBA, it's apples and oranges, even like halves and quarters and how they call it. You know, I believe players should have six fouls, so you're not taking guys out every single time with two fouls in the first half. You're letting your best players play. And I think technicals should be one shot. I think, that changed the whole game. You get 2 points for something that's a subjective call by the official.
But even if it's a one shot technical, though, you hit the shot and if Georgia Tech still scores on the next possession, it's still a 1 point game instead of a 4 point game. So even though it's not tied, like, that would be a very big change of events there, even with just the one time. But I mean, there is a difference there. Yes, for sure. Yeah. I want to talk about this. So Mike James, going into the season, he was, viewed as, okay, he's going to be one of the guys for Louisville. And he comes out great in the first couple games, great in the exhibitions. On Sunday in Virginia Tech, he hits two early threes. He has, kind of the one layup for Louisville during Virginia Tech's run. Doesn't score in the second half, though. I'll give you a couple stats here, Coach. Outside of the Chattanooga game where James was 4-6 from three, he's 5-23 on the season. That's 21%. He scored 54 points in his first three games, 35 in his last five. Against UMBC, he did a phenomenal job of getting to the free throw line, hit 13 of his 14 free throws. The rest of the year, the other, seven games Louisville's played, he's 13 of 18. And this might answer the question on some ends of it, but he's had some foul trouble issues. I mean, he's had 3+ fouls in four games Louisville's played, including three out of the last four, and against Indiana, Bellarmine, and Virginia Tech, fouling out of that Bellarmine game, having four against the Hokies on Sunday. So Mike James, a guy that we kind of, expected to be one of Louisville's go-to guys here, has struggled a little bit more on the offensive end than I think we've expected. What have you seen from him? Is it something Louisville fans should be worried about long-term, or is it more of just a blip, still a small sample size, and we'll see what happens here in the next couple games where the competition kind of lessens out before it ramps up back again with Kentucky?
Yeah, I think Mike's a heck of a player. He's so physical. He's got a great body. He's got to learn. He's had some avoidable fouls. Even the New Mexico State game, he's late on that plug where they missed the two free throws and so on. He's so strong. He's a bull. but there's times his technique, you know, and understanding how to be great off the ball so you're not late, and that's where you get some foul trouble, the reaches, the feet, it affects you. And a lot of players, Jack, become offensive sensitive. So, you know, if the things aren't going great offensively, they're fouling. And when they're not, when they're fouling, it's kind of getting their head as far as the offensive standpoint. So, look, he's a very good straight line driver. He'll get to the rim. He likes going left. But, you know, he's not a crafty, shifty guy, but he can catch and shoot. He's got great size to him. And that's for him to know who he is going into these games. I think he could be a level five defender. And that's just one of the terms I use where there's a lot of things he can do because he can almost switch one through five. But like in some games, you know, he'll switch and then he'll play behind the post. He did that against New Mexico State and against Bellarmine. So like the point is like for him, I would love to see him raise the bar from a defensive standpoint. And when he does that, he could be one of those glue guys and, you know, get out in transition, go to the offensive boards, put it back every single time. I still think there's a chance for him to be, I don't know if it's a go-to guy. I don't know if they really have figured that out. If it's Sky, if it's Trey White, you know, but you know, this team has to figure out how to play and how to get the best shot for each other. But I think Mike James, his upside's there. But he has to know who he is, and I think the biggest thing for him to be would just be an absolute demon on defense, and the points will just come.
Yeah, I think when you talk about, like, who's the go-to guy for Louisville, I think it's not really a specific person, but it's more so just the style of straight-line drives, attacking the basket, trying to finish at the rim, or getting to the free-throw line. Whether that's Mike James, Sky, Trey White, Tyler, you know, posting up Braden Huntley Hatfield. When Louisville's attacking, that's really when they're at their best on the offensive end. And trying to figure out, you know, who's the best guy or who's, you know, who are they going to go to late in games is one thing. But I think the style of how they need to score points and how they need to get their offense has been established to this point. Just, you know, Mike James is a dude that, you know, if he's not with the ball, he needs to move without the ball. He needs to hit his open shots because he, at least him and JJ seem to be the best pure shooters out of the rotation guys. Yeah, he's the one who comes from shooting from behind the arc. I mean, Trey and Sky Clark and Tyler are all kind of streaky, I feel like. JJ probably has the highest percentage on the team. I'd have to check to confirm that.
I think they're all pretty streaky. But like you said, like if they can understand and identify and really seem like a really cohesive unit, and hey, if this is working, because you know, with their offense and their movement, trying to establish, okay, well, this is where that weak link is. This is a guy to go into. You know, I wasn't very impressed with Virginia Tech from a defensive standpoint and from an athletic standpoint. It's only going to get tougher as you get into the ACC and then you go against some of these teams that just aren't going to give you the straight line drives. So then you have to be effective and create better offense with great screening, great passing, great cutting.
Yeah, and that's another part of this as well, because, I mean – yes, Virginia Tech and Indiana are both power conference teams, but I think Indiana is a very much we'll see proponent about that. We'll learn a lot about them. They play Michigan Tuesday night on the road, Auburn and Atlanta on Saturday, and host Kansas next week. So we'll learn a lot about Indiana here. But Virginia Tech, I mean, Auburn blasted them by, I have it up here, by 17. Florida Atlantic beat them by 34. They lost to South Carolina on a neutral court by 2. Mm-hmm. They haven't blown a lot of people out outside of Coppin State, who ironically Louisville blew out. They did have a nice one over Iowa State, but Virginia Tech, when you think about the ACC, you've said it a few times, they're not exactly near the top or maybe even in the middle right now to where – yeah, that's a game that could be one, even on the road, could have been more one of the more winnable games Louisville would have in the conference to this point.
Right.
And now the question becomes, okay, you get DePaul on the road, who I don't think is as good as Virginia Tech, not that Virginia Tech's some world beater, but can you do some of these things you haven't done against Texas, Indiana, and Virginia Tech against DePaul on the road against technically a power conference team, but I mean – They're not your typical power conference team.
No, they're not.
In DePaul, to where I think DePaul's a pivotal game for Louisville, because if you're able to win that game, win your two home games, be 7-4, that can keep the hope alive of, okay, maybe you can sit around and be a competent team. If you lose to DePaul, though, that's where things could get really tough. But can you apply the late game execution against DePaul? Could you, I mean, people would love to see it. Could you just win the game handily by 10, 12, 15 points at DePaul? I think that's too much to ask from Louisville at this point, but can you find a way to win the game and make the right decisions late? I think is going to be the big key for them on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's out of the realm for them to have a 10, 15 point win. If they're locked in, look, like we just talked about, up 7 with 3 something to go in the first half, you close out the half up 9 or 10 on the road, you sustain a lead, you're up 12 or 13. That could easily happen against Virginia Tech. But they have to understand it's every possession. I mean, you're playing each possession. You can't come down the floor and waste a possession and just take, you know, have a live ball turnover and those type of things. The way DePaul plays, they're going to be all over the place and trust gambling and whatnot. You got to be solid. You got to take care of the basketball. You know, that's been the bugaboo again is the turnovers and not having those and being strong with the ball.
14 of them, I believe, against Virginia Tech.
Right. And some of them were just egregious and some of them were just, yeah. And again, and then the fouling. So look, Saturday is a pivotal game for this team. That's a game that I think that they're better than DePaul. I've watched a little bit of DePaul, you know, just not very impressed with that team. This is a game on the road. Look, you know, and probably not a great atmosphere. I don't think that's going to be, it's not going to be rocking and rolling there. So let's see if this team can have the grit and the things that we just talked about and show it. Have a disposition defensively. Have that identity offensively. Get to the line 20, 25 times. I mean, that would be big.
Do we know if they're doing the I forget which church organizes
the buses,
it,
but right.
Are they doing the bus trip up there this year?
I don't know. When I was at, we played there 1 year and the buses, yeah, that was just huge. It was a home game for us and they came kind of late and all of a sudden it was just massive crowd. So I really don't know if they're doing that. I hope for Louisville's sake they are, because it'd be nice to have a huge crowd for that game.
Yeah, because I'll say they did the bus trip down here to Atlanta last year for the Georgia Tech game, and it was purely, even a year where Louisville went 4-28, I mean, it was probably two-thirds Louisville fans in McCamish right. Pavilion. It was pretty fun. I mean, that game wasn't a blowout, which was nice, but
right.
But I mean, I know that was the tradition for a lot of years there, the easy bus trip up to DePaul to Chicago there to make it.
I hope that's the case. I don't know if they're doing that. We'll have to look into that, and we'll know next pod.
We'll know next spot, and we'll see what happens in that game. I think Louisville wins the game too, because I don't trust DePaul to win basketball games, and Louisville, I think, can play well enough to win. The reason I don't think they're going to win by like 10, 12, 15 points is just because we haven't seen them do it. And until they put together a 40-minute stretch against a team that's not Coppin State and won a game by 10, 12, 15 points, I don't see that happening, but I do think they will be able to do enough to get the first win of the Kenny Payne era, which would be Louisville's first road win since early January of 2022 when they won at Georgia Tech, which has been a very long time, but the Cards have a chance, possibly as good of a chance they'll have all season to end that stretch here on Saturday. We'll be back next week to react to that game, Louisville and DePaul. For former Louisville assistant coach Mark Lieberman, I'm Jack Grossman. We'll catch you next time here on Floyd Street's Finest.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.